Be seated. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10. Again, our theme all along is going to be being able to stand, being able to withstand, and having done all to stand, we're going to stand therefore ready for the battle. So we want to be dressed, ready for the battle, equipped for the battle. And this battle is one of soul winning. Out of all the things in the Christian repertoire, soul winning can be the most difficult for some Christians. Amen. If you're an outgoing person and you're a talkative person and you're one that likes people and likes to talk with people, this is probably the easiest thing for you to do. But if you're not that talkative type of person, this is probably the most difficult thing for you to do. Amen. How many of y'all would call yourself a natural born talker? You can talk about anything, anywhere, anytime with anybody. Okay, Rose is one. Anybody else? Jeremiah is another. Amen. Anybody else? You can talk to anybody, anywhere, anytime about anything. Amen. For the most part, most of us are not that way. There's a select few that have been blessed, like Rose and like Jeremiah, that don't have a problem with that. But for the most part, most of us have a problem with that. Amen. They almost have to ask us, what must I do to be saved, for us to witness to them. Amen. Sometimes the opportunities are easy. Other times they're not easy. Amen. But we're still commanded to go and have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, being ready to share with someone when we get the opportunity. And so that's the piece of the armor that we want to have on and be ready for that and have that piece on, because the devil does not want people to be saved. Mark her down. The devil will do everything in his power to get you either A, not to witness, or B, not to get the opportunity to witness, or C, don't seize the opportunity when it comes upon you. Again, he doesn't want people at your jobs to be saved. He doesn't want your children to be saved. He doesn't want your relatives to be saved. He doesn't want anybody else to be saved. Now, we know people are going to be saved. Amen. But we just want to make sure that we're in on the people getting saved. Amen. So we want to make sure that we're doing that. So we're in our book, and this book is designed to make you feel a little bit more comfortable in sharing the gospel. A little bit more comfortable in sharing the gospel. And so I want you to take it personal. So I'm going to start back on page 24. And Roman numeral 3 was making a soul-winning visit. Making a soul-winning visit. That's the blank there. A was example conversations. Example conversations. 1, for a door-knocking or canvassing visit, introduce yourself. Introduce yourself. Next blank, clearly give the name of your church. Clearly give the name of your church. Page 26 at the top, invite them to your church. If at all possible, invite them to your church. By the way, if you don't get a chance to invite them to your church, does the track automatically invite them to the church? Yes, it does. Because on the front it says you are invited. Hey, man, we personally made it up that way. Amen. Next one, determine if this is the right time to continue the visit. If this is the right time to continue the visit. Are there sometimes inconvenient times? Yes, sometimes there are inconvenient times. Amen. Next one, look for an opportunity to turn the conversation. Look for an opportunity to turn the conversation. You want to get it on something spiritual. Look for an opportunity to turn the conversation. Then 27, exchange contact information. Exchange contact information. Okay. And that's where we left off last week. Notice back on page 25, it said example conversations, number 1, for a door knocking or canvassing visit. So back on page 27, this is for a specific visit. Specific visit. So in other words, this is a visit that you have already pre-planned. You've called somebody up and they know that you're coming for the most part, or it's a follow-up visit or something like that. This is a specific visit that you're making, and they are kind of expecting you to be there, whether you told them you would be there or you told them you would call them or something like that. This is what we're talking about for a specific visit. They have some knowledge of you being there. Could be someone that came to the church or something like that. Notice it says down to introduce yourself quickly, give the name of your church, and early on explain the purpose of your visit. Amen. What are some things, what are some reasons we're going to visit with them for other than salvation? So what could you say when you explain the purpose of your visit? What could you possibly say? Do you have any questions? I know you came last Sunday. Do you have any questions? What else can you say for the purpose of your visit? We want to stop by and see if you have any questions about our church. What else can we say? Sam?
Make sure you know how happy we are that you came.
We're happy that you came. Amen. We're really excited that you came. What else can we say? Amen. You visit us, we're returning the favor. Amen. What else can we say? If they have children, hey, how were your children? Did they enjoy the children's program? Did they enjoy children's church? Did they enjoy the Sunday school? Hey, how did your children work out in the nursery? You know, what happened with that? How was the experience there? Were they, you know, kind of shell-shocked or did they get along well? You can ask them about the nursery. What else can we ask them about? Because it's not just we came to see if you're saved or not. Now, we want to know that. But if we say that, what's more than likely going to happen? He's going to get defensive. So we've got to kind of open up the door with some other mentality. Yes, ma'am.
How'd you hear about our church?
How'd you hear about our church? Amen. Amen. How'd you hear about our church? Well, hey, how'd you hear about our church? Was it on the web? Was somebody invite you? Something like that. Now, by the way, can we ask them, about being saved since we knock at the door? Yeah, we can. Sometimes I will talk to people at that door and I'll say, hey, if you were to die, you sure you go to heaven? They say, I'm not sure. I say, can I come by and show you how you can be sure? Okay. And so when I knock at the door, I say, hey, how you doing? Remember, I talked to you about being sure that you're going to heaven. Hey, I want to come in and sit down with you and show you how easy it is to know that you're saved. Amen. So you can do that sometimes if they know that's why you're coming. Yes. Tracy, you had Jana? Oh, okay. So for a specific visit, you know, you introduce yourself quickly. You give the name of your church, explain why you're there. And there's so many different ways that you can take that conversation and run with it. So many different ways. Okay. So that's one thing we can do. Now, we did give you the acronym as well for the specific visit on the next page. House is for help. I'm sorry. The acronym for help. Compliment on their house or find things you can talk to them about their house, about their employment, about their loved ones, about their possessions. So those are all things that you can find that we talked about last week to engage in conversation. By the way, if you stumble on something that they want to talk about, you stumble on gold. Because they want to talk about what they know and what they like, whether it's the Green Bay Packers. You know, whether it's North Carolina Tar Heels, whether it's whatever it is. I mean, into it, where Sam works at, if it's TMC, if it's a nursing situation, they want to talk about something that they're familiar with. Why is that true? Jeremiah? What's that? We were made to communicate. That's true. But why is it a plus when we stumble upon something that the person enjoys or likes or knows something about? Brother Joe? You will talk a whole lot more because you feel like the authority. I mean, hey, if you find out a diehard Chicago Cubs fan, I mean, where grandma and grandpa and great grandpa was on the Cubs, and I mean, man, and they get to talking, man, you done got something now, amen. Or an old diehard North Carolina fan like Pastor White, I mean, they get to talking, bring out a memorabilia, bring out photos and stuff like that. You know, heaven forbid, probably bring out an old Jordan photo, amen. Even though he with Chicago now. So, you know, when you stumble upon something that they like, they will end up talking. And then it's that much easier to turn the conversation spiritual. Because you've already got them on some easy ground. They're not defensive. The hair is down. I mean, they have just let go. Okay. And so those things, a house, did you notice not flowers in the yard or something like that? Painting in the living room, employment. Where do they work? What's their job like? Loved ones. How many children do they have? How many family members do they have? Are they the biggest? Are they the oldest? I mean, if I find out how many family members they have and they say they've got a large number, what do I normally go to right after that? I go to my wife's family. I say, you know what? My wife had 15 in her family, 9 boys and 6 girls. And then I'll go right back to me. I said, I had only 4. three girls and one boy. I said, I was the oddball. How many brothers do you have? How many sisters do you have? And you start getting, and then they want to talk about that. Who beat up on you? Was it your sister? Was it your brother? Or did you beat up on somebody? I mean, you get them talking, you get them laughing, and the defenses are way down. Then you say, hey, how many of them go to church right now? And then you got to roll in. I noticed you visited our church. Hey, how many of your brothers go to church? And well, you know, my grandmother's a pastor. Oh, amen. They might say that, amen. House, employment, loved ones, possessions. Do they have pets? Do they have same car, whatever they have? People like talking about subjects that are familiar to them. So that's something that you want to make sure that you always accent on is that acronym HELP. And remember that HELP, house, employment, loved ones, possessions, because that'll help you out. Amen. All right. Coming down to the next one here on the let's go to your number. What is that? B. Yes. B is practical tips. Practical tips. These are some things that will help you out when you actually go out on a visit. Practical tips. And again, we're always looking for the opportunity to turn the conversation spiritual to something that they're going to look at. Practical tips. Now, first item up for bids here is carry a New Testament. Why do I not want to go out to their door with this? You knock on the door and you got this tucked under your arm. Scare them away. Do they know who I am right off the bat? No. So what are they most likely going to think I am? Salesperson. Not with this. Jehovah's Witness. Say, why did Jehovah's Witness? Because they're the most frequent ones out there. Who's number two that's most frequently out there? Mormons. And what do they carry? The only thing that the difference between us, they wear white shirts with a name tag and black trousers. That's the only difference. We come in rainbow colors. Amen. But the Jehovah's Witnesses are going to come out with mama, with daddy, with kids, with the dog. They're going to come out with everybody with this. And they're going to have a watchtower in one hand, Bible in the other. And they're going to knock on that door. And that's who most people think we are. So now, if this is concealed somewhere in the back and it's a small version, guess what? People feel less defenseless because they don't know who you are. Especially if you got a shining light polo on. They can't tell what that logo says unless they get up close. It could say, you know, Harvey's Supply Store. They just know that you're at their door. And so when you come up to them with a big Bible, it can be intimidating. Now, if it's a planned visit, is it okay to take the Bible if it's a planned visit? If it's a planned visit, they already know who you are. They're expecting you. They know you're from the church and you're going to have a Bible. But just a cold turkey visit to go up with the Bible is going to be very intimidating to the average person. The average person probably not going to let you in. By the way, if you saw somebody with a Bible at your door, who would you think they were? Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons, amen. You know, Baptists know how to do a bunch of door knocking. We do, amen, but it's not as much as those two. Those two groups go out there all the time. And so you want to keep the best bet is keep a New Testament in your pocketbook or in your back pocket. Or if you got a shirt or something like that or a jacket, keep it tucked away. Some people have these very thin Bibles that has the whole Bible in it. And you can keep those tucked away as well. But that's less intimidating. But to go with the big Bible, by the way, is going to intimidate somebody. Now, sometimes you don't even have to pull the Bible out if you have enough scripture memorized. Amen. You don't have to pull out until the last resort. I mean, I've been in houses where I just quoted scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture. And I say, remember those scriptures I gave you? Let's look at those in the Bible. Then I'll pull it out and they say, hey, you had a Bible all this time. Yeah, I didn't want to scare you. Amen. Carry a New Testament is better. By the way, how many verses are we going to use in soul winning from the Old Testament anyway? Probably not many unless you like Pastor White and take them back to Genesis. Amen. I was talking to somebody just the other day, and I said, let's go. I had my New Testament, and I said, let's look back over here in Genesis. And I was trying to find it in my New Testament, and I thought, it ain't here. Somebody stole my Genesis. Amen. They said, Pastor, that's just the New Testament. I knew there was something funny about this Bible. Amen. I only had the New Testament. Amen. I'm just going to town like, I know it's a faulty Bible. Amen. But you want to make sure that you do have a small enough Bible that you can conceal. Number two, go with a partner. Why is it beneficial to go with a partner other than Jesus sent them two by two? Matter of fact, let's look at that scripture there. Luke 10:1 is the one that they have listed there in your book, right? Let's go over to Luke 10:1 and look at that. Luke 10:1, and whoever gets there first, go ahead and raise your hand. We'll get you to read that. Luke 10:1. Who's got Luke 10:1? Who's got Luke 10, 1? Go ahead, Joe. Amen. Now, if Jesus sent them two by two, it's significant. How many went out with Paul when he started the churches as a missionary? How many went out with him? One. It was Paul and Barnabas. When they split up, what happened? Who did Paul pick? Paul and Silas. Again, how many was it? Two. Who did Barnabas take? John Mark. Well, he took John Mark. Paul got Timothy later on. Amen. And so Barnabas said, so again, how many was it? Two. So a principle was established early on in the New Testament that two by two, Jesus sent them by twos to go wherever he was coming. Barnabas went by two and Paul went with two. And so we find that principle established there. And so it said he sent them two and two before his face in every city and place whither he himself would come. And so when you go with a partner, what does it do for you? What are the advantages, I should say? What are some of the advantages of going with a partner? They list one, two, three, four. They list five, and I put a sixth one in there. What are the advantages of going with a partner? Why is it important to go with a partner? Ms. Dawson? Amen. Ms. Dawson says safety is one. Number two, if you go with a partner, the partner may have a better connection with the person than you. Maybe there's something about them. They could be from North Carolina. Yeah, I don't know anything about North Carolina. They got chiggers out there and bugs, amen. And my son gets sick out there. I mean, I don't know anything else. Brother Frank's out there. I mean, I don't know anything about North Carolina, but Pastor White's there, and this person from North Carolina, I can say, hey, Pastor White, where are you from out of North Carolina? Man, I can let him take over, and I can turn into the prayer partner then. Or we're talking, and Pastor White's talking, they say, well, I'm from the Chicago area. My pastor's from Chicago. Pastor, tell him where you're from. I can step in there, and then he can turn to a prayer partner. So it's good to go with two, because somebody may have the connection or the inroads to something that you don't know. What are the other good reasons why it's good to go with a partner? What can a partner do for you? Rose?
Maybe to help distract, like if a child is getting in the way or something like that, like distract
them. Not the children, amen. Yes, the children, amen. Many times we've had that happen where, I mean, you're trying to get into the nitty gritty of the soul winning and, mommy, I want a cracker. Mommy, I want some water. Or they just want to come in there and you know, mess around with the mommy or something like that. You can say, oh, come over here, Junior. Oh, is this your Tonka, Troy? Oh, my son's got one like that. Does yours go fast like this? And now all the kid wanted was some attention. And so now I got him over there and, you know, now they're playing with him, amen. But let me caution you, never take the child out of the parent's sight. Always. And he says, can I show you my stuff? No, but can you bring it in here so I can see it? Never go out of sight with the child. Never, ever, ever go out of sight with the child. Stay right there where parent can see you. Amen. And play with little Johnny or little Susie or whatever. Talk to them. Be friendly to them. Amen. Don't touch Johnny or Susie. Don't pick Johnny or Susie up. Don't put a hand on them. Why do we not want to put our hands on somebody's children? What's the danger in that, Brother Gary? I wasn't given permission, number one. What else? Jenny? Amen. Amen. And we're living in a day now where folks are wicked. Yeah. They'll set up a tape recorder somewhere hidden and say some things and dub it and edit stuff out. And folks are wicked like that nowadays. See, Judge, look at what they said. And I made a bunch of innuendos and they'll string your words together. And you think, I said nothing of the sort. And then, man, folks are just wicked. Everybody's trying to sue and make a quick buck. Amen. And if I can sue you and get a quick buck, then I don't have to work the rest of my life. And there's some wicked, crazy people out there. Amen. Now, we're out to share the gospel, but we've got to use wisdom as well. So we don't want to take, and pick up children or hold children. They can say you touched a child inappropriate or something like that. It might even be accidental. You know, you may, you know, poke the child in the eye by accident or something like that, picking them up. I mean, you never know. So it's best not to put a hand on them, play with their trucks all day long and all that kind of stuff. But make sure that we never take the child out of sight. And make sure that we never handle the child that's less accusations on us. What's another good reason why we can take a partner with us? What advantage is that going to give me? Now, we've got two so far. The testimony and what Mrs. Dawson said about the person could have another good reputation or a good rapport with them. Give you, yes, Gary? Amen. He is. He can say, I was there the whole time. And by the way, even in the court of law, you got to have what? A witness. Otherwise, it's my word against your word. Amen. And the judge has got to determine from there. More wisdom. Amen. Let me go through some of the ones that they give you as well, in addition to the things that we've said already. Going by two and two. First, go with a partner that allows an experienced soul winner to train a new soul winner. So you can train someone else to go along and do what you're doing. By the way, is that not what we're supposed to do anyway? Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things which I've commanded you. So you get a new convert saved. Now the first thing you can say is, hey, why don't you come soul winning with me? Amen. You get that new convert, go soul winning, get him trained up. And guess what? That convert can train somebody else and on it goes. How did we get the gospel? That very same way. Amen. And so you can get a partner to train someone else. Second of all, it allows one person to specifically be the prayer partner. And so one is praying diligently during the discussion and praying for the power of God and praying that distractions would be gone away and pray that the person would get saved. Pray the person's heart would open. Pray that God would give you the words to say, amen, as you're going along, and pray that you would find opportunities to take and say, hey, that was an opportunity, and take that opportunity. So that's another thing. Number three, it allows an extra person to help with distractions that arise. And that's what I think Jenny said. There's distractions there. Amen. You can get those distractions put to the side so you can play with little Johnny or little Susie right there. So for distractions, number four, it provides accountability. Say, preacher, what kind of accountability? If you know that somebody's meeting you for soul winning Saturday morning, what are you going to be likely inclined to do? Be there. Because somebody's depending on you to be there. Amen. And so now they give you the extra push. I remember years ago, we had an older couple in our church. We thought it was ancient at that time. They were 50. I'm 54 now. They were 50. We thought, man, they are old as dirt, man. They are so old. And so they had a teenage daughter. And they confessed. They say, you know, sometimes, you know, the fibromyalgia gets to kicking up and get to aching. And we just don't want to come soul winning. We're hurting and we're tired. And they said, you know what gets us coming? Our teenage daughter. She says, we got to go soul winning. Let's go. Let's go. And they said, so times when they wouldn't come, their teenage daughter kept them accountable because they were getting older and they had some illnesses and things like that. And they said they didn't want to come sometime. They said, if it wasn't for a shame, they wouldn't have come. But they had that daughter, and that daughter would say, are we going? And they'd be like, oh, you just don't know how bad I'm hurting. But they would come. Now, they wouldn't let off that they were hurting at all. You wouldn't know they were hurting until afterwards you talked to them, hey, what's going on? How you doing? Oh, man, fibromyalgia just kicking up and hurting all over. You know, another one, oh, my back and, you know, all this. And I'm like, man, I couldn't tell that. You know, they said, well, we had to come. We had to come. What happened? Accountability. So having a partner keeps you accountable as well, amen, and that's something as well. And again, if there's a pre-scheduled time, it's less easy to decide at the last minute, I don't feel like going, amen. And then number five, it protects your testimony, as Ms. Dawson said, Ms. Jenny said, protects your testimony, amen. So in other words, if something is going on, you have a partner to back you up. If it's just you and the person, guess what? You're in trouble. You're in trouble. And then the last point is this. They didn't put this one down, but I added this one. When you have a partner, it gives you boldness. It gives you support. It gives you encouragement. There's somebody like-minded right next to me that believes the same way that I do and feels the same way that I do. And they're eager to see somebody saved just like I do. And so that gives me support, knowing that they're here with me and they're ready to go. I'm ready to go. Let's go. And so it does give you support and encouragement. Amen. By the way, do you need support sometimes when you get the door slammed in your face? When you get that person say, I don't want to be bothered with that foolishness. You can say, I'm glad you and I are saved. Amen. You can talk to your partner and say, amen, I'm glad you're saved. I remember one time me and Brother Aaron went out there and the guy was just mean to us, to Keisha, was mean to us. And Aaron's like, what's wrong with him? I said, I don't know, brother, but he need to get what we got. Amen. Aaron's like, yeah, that's right. He need to get some of what we got. Amen. He need to get saved. He said, man, he was just mean and rude and obnoxious. I said, yeah, he was, brother. I said, we got to pray for him. But guess what? If Brother Aaron wasn't there, I'd say, man, he just talked me out. I'm going to wrap my tail between my legs and I'm going to run off. But Aaron was there. I was bold. Nah, man. He didn't do that. How you going to treat us like that? Well, you know we saved. He need what we got. Yeah, he does. I mean, we got encouraged with it. Just talking, hey, we're saved. Praise God. He needs Jesus. That's why he's that way. And so go with a partner. It will help you out. Amen. Let's rifle through a couple more of these real quick. Always be polite and courteous and thoughtful to others. Remember, you weren't invited to the person's doorstep. Amen. Never be forceful. Never try to force your way in there. If the person is uninterested, kindly excuse yourself. And you can always give them what? A gospel tract. Amen. So never be forceful or anything like that. Amen. Number four, never criticize another person's belief. Amen. Consider how Jesus dealt with the woman at the well. I mean, and that conversation was so smooth. And by the way, if you can recall, we weren't always saved. And we had some strange beliefs. I went to a church where they fell out and they were slain in the spirit. They had women speaking all over the place. I mean, that's some crazy things. Now, if somebody would have talked about that type of church early on before I was saved, what do you think I would have said? How would I have felt about that? I would have rejected. I would have defended as well because I don't know anything else. All I know is what I grew up in. So now you're talking about not just my church. You're talking about my mama. You're talking about my daddy. You're talking about my grandmother, my grandfather, because we all went to the same church. So now you didn't talk about my whole family just by slamming that. So you got to be careful when you talk to people about their beliefs and what they believe. Always say, let's see what the Bible says. That's safe. But if you talk about it, amen, that's one thing. Wow. You let a woman preach to you in that church, man, I wouldn't let no woman preach to me. That could be their mother. So you could be in trouble, amen. So remember that, amen. Never criticize someone's beliefs, amen. Don't be rude, verbally combative. No matter what is said to you, remember, we were not invited. We're trying to get them saved. Proverbs 15:1 still says, a soft answer turneth away what? Wrath, but grievous words stir up what? Anger. Amen. We don't want to do that. Amen. And we'll finish up with these next couple ones next week because there's some more input that I want to give you on those. But number five, in case somebody goes out this weekend, never talk alone with a person of the opposite sex in the house. What does that do? That's bad. By the way, somebody may see you going in. And what if that person is known as being a loose woman? Or what if that person is known as being a fresh man? And the lady goes in by herself or the man goes in by himself and that person has a reputation. Now your reputation is already tarnished on the line. Someone may see you going in. Somebody may accuse you. That person may have a jealous spouse. And then the neighbor says, did you know I saw a man come into your house today? Who was that man? Then he might beat her up or he may come chasing after you. So there's a whole lot of reasons why you want to make sure that you don't go into a house and talk with the opposite sex in a setting like that. And the next one, talking to young people as well. We kind of talked a little bit about talking to the young person. Amen. And we'll pick up with that next week. But just some tips here. And again, this is to give us the ability to feel more comfortable as we go out. We know we ought to go out. We know we ought to talk to people. But I want us to be able to go out and not feel like, well, what do I say? What do I do? What do I have? And this gives us a little bit more of a comfort zone. Now, it's not going to take the place of the boldness that the Holy Spirit gives you. But it just familiarizes you a little bit more with scenarios and what you can expect and what you can do when you come up to a visit. And so I do pray that this will help you out some in what you do and how you feel. Amen. And as we go along, we're not going to go through the whole book, but we will go through most of the stuff that deals with the soul winning aspect of it. So we're going to close there, pick up with that. Pastor White, you come on up. I'll give you the mic. Pastor White is going to give us any closing announcements that we need. And they're going to close us in a word of prayer. Brother, last. Turn this off.